Well, today you saw the children being involved in the Christmas story, Mary, Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men. But today I'm going to switch it up a little bit on the story and talk to you about a person that was not talked about in the pageant. It's a story about Simeon, and you can find Simeon in Luke 2. Now, Simeon was someone who loved God, loved people. When he would walk around his hometown in Jerusalem, he would see the suffering of his people. Poverty, those in bondage, oppression from the Romans. And his heart was broken. He saw how far away they were from God. And it broke his heart. And so Simeon would pray every day. Every day, religiously, he would pray to God. He would pray a specific promise that he learned in the Old Testament. And this promise that God would someday, in the life of Israel, give a deliverance, a Savior, bring a Messiah. And also Simeon had a word from the Lord that told him that he would not pass from this earth without seeing the Messiah. But he prayed. And he prayed day after day. But he did not see the Messiah. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. And he was starting to wonder, because nothing had happened yet, and Simeon was getting older. Well, one day, he went to the temple, like he had gone any other day, went to the temple to pray. Now, the temple, like many other days, was filled with a lot of people. He walked through the crowd and got to his space where he normally sat down to pray. But this day, when he was praying, he saw a family he had not seen before in the temple. It was a young mom and dad with this newborn baby. There was something about that family that stirred in his heart. He didn't know why, but something was stirring. And particularly, there was something about that newborn baby that touched his heart. As he drew closer to the family, he kept his eyes on that precious little newborn baby. And he wondered. His heart began to skip a beat. His heart became overwhelmed with joy. And so he got up the nerve and he walked over and he introduced himself to Mary and Joseph and to the baby. And he did something that he'd probably never done before in his life. He asked Mary, who did not know him, if he could hold her baby. She said yes. And so he took that little baby into his arms and he held that baby close to his heart. As Simeon looked at that baby, he realized something so amazing. And what he realized that he was face to face with the deliverer of the world. Can you imagine Simeon at that moment? This is the face of the deliverer that he had prayed for his whole life, day after day, going to the temple, week after week, months after months, year after year. And he was holding that baby, and his heart was just racing, and his heart was close to that baby. He also realized something else. He realized that he was praying, that this baby was also the God who he had been praying to. Not just a little baby, but this was also God, the one he'd been praying to all this time. And I thought, well, for Simeon, that's amazing. What a moment. What a moment in Simeon's life. Standing there with mom and dad and the deliverer of the world. And Simeon's heart became so full, and he uttered these words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, that you would be a light for the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. I'm struck with a few things about this passage and about Simeon. The first thing is this: I am struck how kind God is. God is the God of kindness. That he would involve Simeon as part of the story. God saw Simeon pray day after day after day, being faithful to pray. And God's heart went out to him. And so he did Simeon a favor. He actually gave Simeon grace. He included him in the salvation story. See, the interesting thing is we don't hear about Simeon again. This is the first and last time we hear of him. Another thing I'm struck with is this, that Mary and Joseph received an encouraging moment as new parents. God sent a person who they had never met to proclaim to them that their son is going to be the Savior of the world, to reinforce and encourage them in their ups and downs of life. And they went to the temple to dedicate their child, like we dedicate our children here at church, and to reaffirm, maybe they were down that day, maybe they were struggling, to reaffirm, to proclaim that their son indeed will be Savior of the world. And the other thing I think that strikes me is this, that when he says he's a Savior of not only Israel, but the Gentiles. The Gentiles invented their own God. They did their own thing. Simeon was saying, though, this Jesus was not just the Savior of the religious, not just the Savior of those who have their act together, those who live clean lives, those who are doing things the right way, but also the Savior of people far away, who do not believe in him or struggling to understand what that may mean or even like him. That he was also the Savior of the world to the Romans, the oppressors. That Jesus is the Savior of everyone. And I think another thing that strikes me is this, that Simeon could see what others could not see. Simeon could see past the wrapping to see the gift. Simeon was there in the temple with the crowds. The crowds that would go to the temple every day also believed in God. They were church-going people. They all knew the same passages. They read from the same scrolls. They understand that this Messiah was promised to them. And they'd heard about that time and time again in the book of Isaiah and others. But these people that were there that day were people who were struggling, who were going through difficult times, who were being oppressed, who came to the temple to lay down their burdens to God. Some maybe brought their sick child and others. Others are trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet. They were all gathering in the temple to see how God would deliver them. They were at the temple to cry out to the God that they knew. And they wanted God to intervene in their lives. They wanted God to say, God, I know you're up there. Do you see me? Do you see the situation that I'm in? Do you see the struggles that I have? God, you seem so far off. I'm just struggling. I'm being faithful to come here every day to the temple. But what these people didn't realize that day was this. The answers to all of their prayers, every single prayer that was lifted up, the answer to their prayers was in their midst that day. But only Simeon could see that. Well, it's Christmas. It's a time of Christmas presents. Now, there's a proper way to give a gift. Let me tell you the wrong way to give a gift. The wrong way is to go to a store, buy something, walk into the house, and throw to the person, "Here you go, Merry Christmas." How's that work for you, by the way? Maybe not so well. But there's a process in how you do a gift. If you violate it, it doesn't go so well. So let me tell you how the process works. You buy something and you decorate it. Didn't my wife do a beautiful job? I can't wait to open my present. I'm not sure this is my present, by the way. But isn't it beautiful? You see, we take a gift and we put it in a box and we wrap it and it looks beautiful. But it's the wrapping and it looks beautiful, but it's also to conceal the gift, the identity of the gift. You don't want them to know what's in the gift, in the box. Now, if you're like our family at times growing up, if there was something small that we were getting something, we would put it in a huge box, right? Huge box, and try to fool them. And they're thinking, wow, I'm getting something big. And they open it up, and they get paper and paper and paper, and there's like this little thing. And it kind of, it's hard on people sometimes. But what happens when someone is given a gift, the giver of that gift and the receiver of that gift, when this gift is opened and the surprise is revealed, there's a powerful connection between the giver and the receiver. There's a personal connection that happens that you will be experiencing this week. And I believe that that is what God revealed in Jesus. That God revealed in Jesus the gift to us. This gift was meant to be opened and shared, to be a connection with the giver and the receiver of the gift, who he is and why he has come. Now I remember, and I'm sure you do too, back the time when we had when our first child came, Isaac. And you know how it is with first-time parents with the first year or two of having a child. And it comes Christmas time. Everyone gets their cameras out and their videos, right? And they're waiting for this amazing moment to happen. And the funny thing is it never happens exactly the way you intended it to happen. And so you get this, you have the tree and you have this, you sit the child right down by the gift and they look at you like, what am I supposed to do? And you're like, come on, you got to get this. And you hand them a gift and they look at it again and you're like, they don't get it. And so what you do is you start tearing off. Now, I know you've all done this. You start tearing off a little bit. And you're hoping that by seeing you tear off a little bit of the wrapping, that they will start ripping it apart. Now, I will tell you, Isaac did a good job. Once we gave him a little bit of slack, he destroyed that wrapping paper. He destroyed it. But there's one thing I realized that first day. I mean, everyone is so anticipating how joyful they're going to be with the gift, right? And he opens up the gift and he starts playing with the box. And you know, at that moment, I thought to myself, I could have saved ourselves a pile of cash by just getting him a couple boxes. He would have been happy. And yet, as parents, we want them to have the gift. And sometimes they just play with the box, they don't open the gift. You see, what I realized with Isaac on that first Christmas, what I learned about us in the church, what I learned about Christmas is this, that it's possible, maybe even probable, to be so enthusiastic about the wrapping of the tree, the food, the cards, the parties, the family get-togethers. We get so excited about the wrapping that we miss the gift. The gift he has for us. See, sometimes at Christmas, with all of the wrappings and all of the things that go with it, sometimes we want to take the wrapping over the gift. We know about God, and so that way we might open up the gift and undo the wrapping, but leave God in the box because we know about God. But he desires us to know who he is, to know him personally. You see, what I realize at this Christmas time and this week is this. It is so possible to have everything except Jesus and have nothing. Or it's possible to have nothing but Jesus and have everything. See, Simeon knew that. At the very end of his time, he shared these words. He said, this child is destined to cause the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against so the thoughts of many hearts can be revealed. What Simeon was saying is true. It's true back then, it's true throughout history, and it's true today. That Jesus is going to be a polarizing figure. Some are going to love him, some are going to like him, and some are not. Jesus is going to divide humanity. And some will know Jesus, and Jesus will rise in their hearts and will transform them. And others will just walk away and not give Jesus a second thought. If you ask kids, what is Christmas all about? You know what they're going to tell you? And I love it when they say it, actually. They say gifts. They love the gifts. I remember when I was a little kid, I loved the gifts too. If you ask me what the Christmas is all about, I might say Jesus, but the next word I'm going to say is gifts. I love gifts. Now, if you talk to adults and you ask them what is Christmas all about, they're probably going to say something like, oh, family and friends and taking a break from work and being with people I love. If you ask Simeon what Christmas is all about, Simeon would say it's an invitation from God to let Jesus rise in your hearts and to reshape us and to reign in us. See, for some people, Christmas will be over tomorrow when the last present is open and all the food and the cookies are eaten and the families head back to their places that they live. For others, Christmas will never end because it's not just the wrapping, but it's the gift. And more, if we open up the gift and take Jesus out of the box and we say, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You are the Savior for those outside these walls. You're the Savior for people inside these walls. And most importantly, you're the Savior for me. See, I realize this Christmas season, like many others, there's a warning. There's blinking lights that say, do not let the wrapping get in the way of the gift. Do not let the wrapping of Christmas get in the way of the gift. Jesus is the hope and the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world. And Simeon, if he was here today, would say these words, that Simeon is the Savior of the world for those whose lives are cleaned up, for those whose lives are messed up, for those who knew all the right things and people who are still trying to figure it out, for those who have doubts, for those who are confused, who those don't really know if the gift is truly something that they want to take. He's also the Savior of those far off. See, at Christmas, if we open up the gift and take Jesus out of the box and receive him, there is a connection. There is a connection between the giver and the receiver. And there's a connection that when we receive this gift, this greatest gift ever given, his son, we will soon realize that Christmas is not just a day, a week, or a season, but Jesus is for eternity. God, for all people, invites us to accept Jesus as Lord of our life. Let us pray. God, we know there's times that we don't get it right. And Lord, even today, we confess, as we came here today, and our minds were in going 5,000 different directions because of the busyness of the season, that we don't get it right. And yet you give us grace. Lord, we know that your eyes holds great love for us. That you offer this invitation. That you get us help in our times of need. Lord, you help us with our doubts and our concerns. Lord, when we open up this gift, you give us beauty and majesty, an incredible life with you. But Lord, we also know that when we open the gift, it doesn't mean that our lives are going to go now on a smooth highway. And that everything's going to turn out well, and no one's going to get sick, and nothing's going to happen to our lives. You don't promise that. But you do promise that if we open up the gift, that you will be Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, you have given us the fountain and the wellspring of the blessing of Jesus in us. And I pray, Lord, that this season, as we gather with family and friends, that we don't just get so wrapped up in the wrappings of Christmas, or even play with the box around the edges, but that we open up the gift and receive you. For many of us, Lord, we have been following you for many, many years, and that gift is familiar, and that gift is amazing. And for others who've known Jesus for such a long time, and yet we've gone through difficult times, Lord, and we're doubting, and we're not sure about the gift this year. We're not even sure if we want to open it up. We're not even sure if you are really there. And Lord, for some of us, we've never opened up this gift. We participated in the wrappings. We've even looked at the box. But we've never received Jesus. And Lord, today, I pray in the hearts of people here that there would be a renewed understanding of the gift or the receiving of a gift for the first time. And Lord, I pray that if that happens, that you would make that known to those people, and those people will tell someone else about the amazing gift that they received today. Lord, I pray for this church family and for family and guests here today. As we have a service tonight and then Christmas tomorrow, that it would be a blessing. That we can engage in all the wrapping, but never forget the most amazing gift you have given us, Jesus Christ, the Lord of our lives. We pray that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.